welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. This week, we've been sharing a message, Face Victory, and we've been looking at Psalm 77. And at this point, we are sort of midway through the psalm, and we're looking at verse 10. In the very first verse, first of all, he confirms that he prayed. He called out to the Lord, and in a positive affirmation, he said, God heard him. He gave ear unto me. Then he goes on to describe how bad off he was, how terrible he was feeling. He was exhausted. He was troubled. He couldn't sleep. His heart was making diligent search. My spirit made diligent search. He was questioning, why isn't God moving? Will God cast off forever? Is His mercy clean gone forever? He is describing that earlier state where he was so troubled and he needed the help of God. We don't know exactly what it is, but that's God's provision so that as we read this in our own personal lives, when we're in a condition or state like this, we can relate to the emotional state that this brother was in. And if we walk with the Lord any length of time, there are times that we get in this place. We can't understand. We don't have understanding. It seems that the heavens are brass. God's not answering prayer. But that pivotal verse in verse 10, and that's one of the reasons I love the King James. I shared several versions. I believe this was yesterday's broadcast. But he said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And even though that I will remember is in italics in the King James, maybe not in the original, it's the thought is reiterated in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. So he's basically telling God, this is where I'm at. He's being honest, but I know who you are, what you have done. I remember the things you've done in the past. So when he says, this is my infirmity, he's just saying, God, you see where I'm at. This is an act of submission to the dealings of God. And sometimes, you know, we know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But the New Testament does talk about times of the chastening of the Lord. And the word is really quite explicit that under certain conditions, afflictions that we go through are really appointed by God. Psalm 66 and 11 says, Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Now, they're not pleasant experiences. He just might take his hand off and let the enemy work. That's what he did in the case of Job. Those weren't God's judgments on Job. He just removed the hedge and Satan was having his way. So Psalm 66 and 11, let me read that again. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Psalm 90 and 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. So we also know in Lamentations 3:33, God does not willingly send affliction. He says in that passage, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. But there are times, because he loves us so much, there are times that he must do that to get our attention, to prevent us going down a wrong path, to stop us so that we will seek God and that he will be able to then move in our behalf. And so what is our response in chastening? Well, New Testament's clear. We must not despise it. Job, the 5th chapter, verse 17 says, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. And also in New Testament, we shouldn't faint. Hebrews 12:5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And because God has a purpose, there's a reason. Out of love, he's allowing circumstance for us to just stop what we're doing and to seek him and to begin asking questions. And so when we're in this state, we should be, I'm going to use a word that we don't like to use these days, resigned, because that sounds negative. But what that means, literally by definition, it means to give oneself over without resistance. In other words, we should resign ourselves to the Lord. And this specifically relates to the dealings of God, not to the work of the enemy. Let's make that very clear. We are submitting ourselves to God. That's the third important lesson from this psalm. There's prayer, letting your petitions be made known to God. There's searching of the heart. There's submission to God, and that God is in control. If the enemy is working, like he certainly was in Job's case, there's purpose and reason behind it, even though we may not understand at the moment. There's what appears to be contradictions in the Word of God. For example, in Galatians 6:5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Okay? And verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why to the unsaved, the Bible doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when you are born again, you understand that is not a contradiction. We are in love to bear one another's burdens, but we are to be responsible to the things that we need to do in our own lives and not expect other people to carry us. So let me give you some scriptural examples of scriptural resignation. In 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 10, the word of the Lord came to King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah that all he possessed would be carried off to Babylon. This is toward the end of his life. And he said, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And a classic example, one of my heroes in the Bible, Job 1:21, he declared after all this calamity just transcended upon him all in one day, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we see from Scripture that Job did not sin in the midst of the affliction that he was going through without having any understanding. So let's take a little bit of time to look at Job. As I said, he's one of my heroes, and people maybe, in fact, I had a sister once, she was a dear sister, loved the Lord. She did not read the book of Job. Nuh-uh, she did not like it. But beloved, there's a beautiful truth in it. And I want at least as I read it and studied it years ago, I began to see why God allowed what is, I believe, by scholars to be one of the oldest books in the Bible. So what we know, Job suffered all these losses, his children killed, he lost his wealth, he was stolen from, and also finally his health was taken from him, and he was miserable to the point that his wife, who should have been a supporter of him, says, why don't you just curse God and die? How would you like a loved one to tell you that? Anyway, so he was alone on the ash heap all by himself, except the dogs came to visit him and lick his wounds. And in chapters 32 to 37, a younger man who was listening to all what was going on, Job's comments, as well as his questionable comforters, he enters the discussion because Job's friends have failed him. But he also criticizes Job's reaction to his plight because Job actually made various charges against God. He charged God with capriciousness and hostility. Well, that's not true of the nature of God. You see, Job didn't understand what he was going through. We, in retrospect, understand clearly, but he thought God was becoming his enemy. He didn't know why. He had led a good and a perfect life, and that God was just being capricious, that there was no real reason for it, but he was just doing it. And because he said, I am clean, Job said, without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he, speaking of the Lord, findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. Those are strong words. But he was being, he wasn't praying, but he was just declaring, that's how I feel. And sometimes we'd get into places like, God, you're being mean to me. If you love me, why am I going through this? And also, he charged God with injustice. Again, these are Elihu's arguments. He said, Job has said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. God's not being fair. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. He says, I haven't done anything wrong. And that was, in fact, true. But it's his attitude of heart. It's how he was responding. And then thirdly, Job is rebellious because he adds rebellion to his sin. Elihu continues, would that Job's affliction be continued and he be tried to the end because of his answering like wicked men. For he adds rebellion, listen to this, to his unsubmissive attitude toward God, to his unacknowledged sin. None of us are perfect. He claps his hand in open mockery and multiplies his words of accusation against God. I know that I'm good, Job's saying, God, why are you doing this to me? The Amplified says in Job 36:21, take heed, turn not to iniquity, for this, and this is the explanation, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction. Elihu extols the greatness and providence of God, urging Job to recognize God's purpose in his sufferings and to join with others in exalting them. Well, my time has just flown and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.